I don't think there's any question that the books you read as a child shape who you are. You can probably remember books that you read even as a little kid.
Yeah.
And the problem is that when you're a parent and you know that the books your kids read are going to shape them, and you don't find the books that you need in order to shape your kids the way you want to, what do you do? Well, the people we're about to talk to wrote the book themselves, but we actually got this conversation started at our website, thetakeaway.org, and we asked you what stories or characters were missing from your kids' books.
My name's Roger, and I'm calling from Manhattan. When our son was 2, I made up a story to explain his adoption. It was called The Baby Lincoln Story and began, Dorothy and Roger fell in love, got married, and wanted a child. It was developmentally appropriate. I didn't mention the word adoption for months, and Lincoln didn't ask what it meant for many months after. Of course, it was the most requested bedtime story for years.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one place where it's missing. They were missing stories about adoption, so he made it on his own. And that's what our next guests did. They found that there weren't any children's books or enough that had African-American heroines in them, so they wrote their own. Tanya Simon and Victoria Bond join us now. They're the authors of Zora and Me, which turns the famed folklorist, anthropologist, writer Zora Neale Hurston into a girl detective. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. So first of all, you guys sat down. It's understandable. You wanted to write a book to fill in the missing place in your kid's lit. But you settled on Zora Neale Hurston. So, Vicky, why her?
Well, I think Tanya actually imagined Zora as a girl detective, I think, based on her interest in anthropology, you know. And I think Tanya can talk more about that. And, you know, my life as a creative writer, I think we have kind of intellectual heroes, you know, and I think for both of us, Zora Neale Hurston just perfectly fit that register.
Well, why is that, Tanya?
Well, I think the idea first came to me when I was pregnant, and I was thinking about one day I realized that I was going to have a girl, and I was thinking about the books that she would read and how I had been as a child, and I got Caddy Woodlawn in my head, and I Caddy Woodlawn was one of my
Wisconsin tomboy, right?
Yeah, and that was just a character that was really powerful and vibrant for me as a child. And I thought, well, gosh, I want to give my daughter Caddy Woodlawn. And then I was thinking, but I want to give her an African American Caddy Woodlawn. And I thought, well, who would be that kind of iconoclastic tomboy, take no prisoners, deep humanist as a child? And the first name that popped right into my head was Zora Neale Hurston. So then
I have to say, you guys, this idea is so brilliant. I mean, I just the idea of Zora Neale Hurston like cruising around and checking out like some stuff and solving cases. I mean, I can see the action figure. I can see the movies. I mean, it immediately bursts into the mind. I don't know if I'm just like strange, but I just love the idea.
Well, Vicky, what do you think? Action hero Zora?
Action heroes, I think, you know, we were attracted to a figure like Zora because she's so, as Tanya said, a kind of classic. And from where she began her life, this kind of great American childhood.
Eatonville,
Florida, the first, you know, black incorporated town in 1887. And Zora did not stay in her place. She would not take her place, but instead she insists on making a place. You know, and if you look at her life trajectory, you know, where she starts, and again, in this kind of Eden, and we use that as a kind of early frame for thinking of our story. You know, Eatonville is a kind of Eden, and the snake of racial duplicity slithers in. But again, where her life ends, I think we have no, you know, notions of grandeur. You know, we're just excited that people are interested in this at all.
How old are your kids now?
Well, my daughter's 4, and Vicky doesn't have children yet.
Well,
children.
But have you read this to her?
I've read pieces of...
Because it's a little advanced for a 4-year-old.
It is. She's a little advanced. But I've read pieces of it. I haven't read it as a narrative to her, and it's probably be another year or two before she could really take it in, I think, if I read it to her. But I think one of the things that was so important for us was that I think for both of us, Zora was a proto-feminist. I think for both of us, the idea of the superhero, we wanted our quirky, intellectual superhero, the kind of girl who thinks that, you know, a good time is a book, you know, up in a chinaberry tree.
Yes. However, I should say that she's I mean, to say, you know, proto-feminist and all the iconoclastic and all these words that make her, that almost make her sound like an intellectual heroine. The Zora that you create in this book is not like that at all. She's standing in the grocery or the mercantile store or whatever you want to call it at that time with her ears, you know, pulled away from her head trying to overhear everybody's conversation. She's like walking down and very sassily talking back to the old lady at the side of the pond. She's making up stories. And, you know, one of the things that strikes me about this is that some of these things may be things you wouldn't want your children to imitate. I mean, and what I'm thinking about is the time where she's making up stories and she tells them so well that even though they're not entirely true, she believes them herself. I mean, would you want your kids to do that?
Absolutely. I want my daughter to author her universe. Nice. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice. I don't want her to be a passive recipient.
How important is Zora Neale Hurston's work, do you think, to the appreciation of this by kids coming to your books for the first time?
Well, I don't know if we are looking for them to have already read Zora. You know, again, we're hoping that our book can kind of be a bridge, a kind
to
of
lead them to
introduction,
it.
You know, to Zora and her anthropology and even, you know, other women writers of the Harlem Renaissance, you know, other turn of the century African-American personalities and modes of life. I think we're really want to introduce kids to a kind of a new way of seeing Black life in historical terms.
And anthropology is detective. I mean,
yes,
Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Of course.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Look at her smile. Look at that.
Now you've got her excited.
You know, and I think also for us, we didn't get Zora until we were in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we, the two of us, we would have loved young Zora when we were 10 years old. Yeah. And I think we wanted to give that to other little Black girls.
And the other thing that I really like about it is that it isn't just about Zora Neale Hurston.
No.
I mean, the title of the book is Zora and Me, and it's very much about this friendship.
Yes.
Between Zora and her friend Carrie and what they give to each other. Zora is, you know, bigger than life, even as a 9-year-old, but she needs Carrie.
She does.
Yeah.
Actually, Carrie is the friend of her heart and mind that we wanted her to have. And Vicky is the friend of my heart and mind.
Each other.
Yeah.
I think, you know, again, some friends, you know, go shopping. Other friends, like, I don't know, play softball on the weekend, maybe. But this is how we decided to be friends.
Yeah.
I think we, during our friendship, had always been asking each other questions. And I think this book is kind of a document of our friendship.
It is.
It's clear from the writing you really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and we wanted girls to see a beautiful, vibrant friendship between two little girls. And there's also a boy, Teddy, who has this, you know, we don't want to call it alternative, but this very gentle nature-based masculinity. And we wanted to show that there could be there are all these different modalities that kids can have. It was also really important to us that these children are in possession of their own kingdom. They're unviolated, and they're unviolating. They are really trying to find their way in the world, and they have loss of innocence.
Well, it is a great book, and it's part of a trilogy. It's one of three Tanya Simon and Victoria Bond co-authors of Zora and Me.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
Feeling cold. Mama, she went to bed last night feeling cold.
We'll leave you with the voice of Zora Neale Hurston. If there is a book or a narrative that you think is absent from your life, let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.
Oh, mama, don't drink no gin because it causes sin.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.